Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. On this feast of the Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we would like to congratulate Michael Oswald on his reception of tonsure and the minor orders. And what a beautiful feast it is that we give clerical tonsure and bestow the minor orders, knowing that what a singular role our Blessed Mother has, especially in these times. Saint Dominic prophesied nearly 750 years ago that one day, by means of the rosary and the scapular, the world would be saved. And in these times, it is remarkable that there are very many singular graces being given by Our Lady, especially through means of the scapular and the rosary. I can only marvel when I run across examples and situations in which it's just a wonder and marvel of grace that people come to a knowledge of Christ's true church. About 2 months ago, I received a phone call from a young man. He's 16 years old. He's in Alabama. And he was a Pentecostal, a Protestant. But in his heart, he really wanted to do the will of God. There are many churches out there. And he began to seriously research. He wanted to be informed. And he told me plainly, after all his studies, historically, the first Christian church is the Catholic Church. That is a church that was founded by Jesus Christ. That's a remarkable thing, and he has since become a traditional Catholic on his own at 16, coming from a completely Protestant background. I received a phone call from a girl. She's 14, and she was modern Catholic. She has no background in the Latin Mass or the traditional Catholic faith. All she knows is Vatican II and the watered-down Novus Ordo. But she was researching, as she said, on Mother Mary, and she came across the website here for Mount St. Michael's CMRI, and she began to read, and it was clear in my mind from talking to her that she had a complete understanding of the whole situation of the church. This girl's only 14. We have in Omaha a woman who came with her seeing eye dog. She's blind. She's blind. And even in her blindness, she could hear when she would go to the Novus Ordo, the modern so-called Mass. This was not a Mass. This is a fiasco. This is ridiculous. This is not the worship of God. And even though she couldn't see, she could at least hear. And she thought there has to be something left of the Catholic faith, of the true Mass. And she has a special instrument that she could put on her computer so she could actually search the internet, and it goes to Braille. So she can feel with her Braille instrument, and she can read off the internet. And she found us, and she comes to Mass with her seeing eye dog, kneels up in front. She has a prayer book with Braille, and she's kneeling there scanning with her left hand going to the middle of the page and her right hand going to the end of the page, and she's just going like up and down the pages and turning the pages, and she's praying her prayers. It's absolutely remarkable. She was looking for a traditional Latin Mass book. She found it on the internet, and she downloaded it to Braille, and she printed it out in Braille. Now she has this prayer book in Braille by which he prays. To me, these are all examples of God's grace and how our Blessed Mother is truly very active in giving to souls who are of good will those graces that they need to come to a knowledge of the true faith. It reminds me of what we read of in the Gospel of St. Matthew, that the Magi, these were foreigners. They were not of God's chosen people, but they were men of goodwill, and they saw the star, and they recognize the birth of the Messiah. And even though the people of Jerusalem, the holy city where the temple of God was in the Old Testament, the people of Jerusalem did not know the birth of Christ, and yet these magi from a great distance came to a knowledge of God and the true faith. This morning we have a great example of this with Michael Oswald. He's come a long way. It's been a very, I'm sure, difficult journey. He was ordained in the modern so-called Catholic Church, but we know that the ordination rite has been tampered with. The consecration of bishops, the very form that has been used in the Catholic Church, was radically changed. Oftentimes, you boys and girls, especially when we study theology, we will talk about the Mass and the change of the words of the consecration and how they've redefined a Mass, not as the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the renewal of Christ's sacrifice in the cross, but how they changed it to Luther's definition. The modern Vatican II Church says the Mass is the gathering of the people of God with the priest presiding. And where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. It's a completely Protestant definition. We often focus on that, but the modernists and the infiltrators who tried to destroy the church, they went right to the source. Besides tampering with the Mass, they changed the consecration form of bishops, and thus apostolic succession has been lost. It only remains in those older bishops who were consecrated before the changes, and they're dying off. The very same thing that happened in England under Cranmer during the time of Edward VI. Cranmer, he was secretly a Lutheran, and also he had a secret wife. He was the supposed Archbishop of Canterbury, and when Henry VIII died, his sickly son, Edward, took the throne, and Cranmer has railroaded all these changes in the Mass, changes in the ordination of priests and the consecration of bishops. And what Cranmer did in England, the modern church did in 1968. And it's a remarkable thing that someone could, by the grace of God, and seeing and studying and trying to know the truth and want to do God's will, come to a knowledge of this, as Michael has. And we can only give praise to God and honor to our Blessed Mother. Our Blessed Mother, she is the woman that God had foretold in the book of Genesis, who will crush the head of Satan. In the very beginning, after Adam and Eve had fallen, God told Satan he will be defeated, he will be humiliated by a woman. And that woman is no other than the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now we know how important it is, our love and devotion to Mary. This is based on sacred scripture. Mary prophesied, "Henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And not only that, but we know in the wedding feast of Cana, when they ran out of wine, Jesus said to Mary, "What is it to thee and to me, woman? My hour is not yet come." Mary said to Jesus, "They ran out of wine. They have no wine." And yet, at Mary's request, Jesus worked his first miracle. He changed water into wine. His first public miracle was worked at Mary's request. That is such a clear and powerful proof in Scripture of the powerful intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Rosary. And what a beautiful devotion this is. It combines both mental prayer and vocal prayer. What is mental prayer? Mens, from the mind. We meditate, we think, we reflect on the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And intimately connected in the life of Jesus Christ is the woman. As God had first told to Satan, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and she shall crush thy head." Intimately connected with Jesus as our Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary. Jesus spent 33 years of his earthly life visible amongst men here on earth, but of those 33 years, 30 of them were spent in company and union with the Blessed Virgin Mary. of all the ways God could have come down from heaven and become man, he came to us through his Immaculate Mother, the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. When we pray our rosary, when we meditate on the mysteries, we have this powerful example of how we should imitate the life of our Lord and the virtues of our Blessed Mother. You know the mysteries so well. You pray them hopefully every day. But let us not underestimate the power of the rosary. When we pray the rosary, when we meditate on the mysteries, our Blessed Mother showers us with many graces to help us to imitate her divine Son. On this feast of the Holy Rosary, October 7th, we also remember a very singular event. The Turks were on the verge of overrunning all of Christian Europe, and they had to be stopped. And so Pope St. Pius V, he called for the Christian countries of Europe to gather together in a fleet and try to destroy the Turks. And it was on this day, in the Bay of Lepanto, off the coast of Greece, that the Christian fleet under Don Juan encountered the Turks. The Turkish fleet far outnumbered the Christian fleet. And as they were setting up in battle formation, we know that the priests were giving general absolution to all the sailors, all the soldiers, general absolution, forgiveness of their sins, because there was no time to hear their confessions individually. And with God's providence, the wind was in favor of the Christian fleet, and they completely demolished the Turks and set them back and saved Christian Europe. Now, the beautiful thing was, at the moment of the victory, Pope St. Pius V went to the window. He looked out the window, and then he said to one of the priests there, he says, "This is no time for standing around. We must go and give God thanks for this singular victory." And sure enough, it was only days later that the ships began to arrive back saying they won the victory. But Pope St. Pius V knew of that victory. He knew of that victory by God's inspiration. And what a powerful thing it was. All of Christendom, all of Europe was praying the Holy Rosary to ask Our Lady for this important intervention. In these days of ours, we know how successful the devil has been to lead the world away from God. The very basic and basic unit of society, the family, is being destroyed by divorce, by abortion, and all these other terrible sins, birth control. These things are mortally sinful. And how important it is, and these are times in which the family is falling apart. And not only that in our society, but immorality is rampant, and the devil has been successful in infiltrating and trying to destroy the church. The times in which we live are nothing less than what St. Paul foretold in his second epistle to the Thessalonians, the great apostasy, the great falling away. And how important it is that we, if we want to persevere in these times, we wear Our Lady's scapular, and we devoutly and every day pray the rosary. My dear friends in Christ, our salvation, our eternal salvation, depends on how we pray. Praying is like breathing. How important it is that we breathe well to live. How important it is that we pray well to spiritually live. And for those of you who are students, whether you're in grade school or high school, just remember this. Maybe at your age, praying is a difficulty. You don't feel like praying. You don't, quote-unquote, get anything out of it. And I don't know what you're looking for. Looking for some spiritual high or some consolation. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But nevertheless, we pray. We talk to God because God is our greatest benefactor. He deserves our adoration and love. We have to beg pardon for our sins. If we're going to be successful in life, both spiritually and temporally, God has to be a part of our life. Pray your prayers and pray them well. Don't fall into the routine of just mumbling words. A dog outside barking is going to make more sense than you just rattling your tongue and your mind intentionally being somewhere else. You have to pray with your attention of mind and devotion of heart. Let us remember this, though. Let us remember that what we believe as Catholics is real. It is a reality. There is a God. God put us in this world to know Him, love Him, and serve Him. He sent His only begotten Son into the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ founded the church. Jesus Christ instituted the Mass and the seven sacraments in order to help us to get to heaven. And let us remember this, what a great privilege is ours to have that gift of the true faith. And on this Feast of the Holy Rosary, when we think of how Our Lady singularly intervened in the lives of Catholics in Europe to save Europe from being overrun by the Muslims, especially in these times when it seems like the world is being overrun by Satan and his legions, let us turn to Our Lady with great trust and confidence and never ever doubt the power of Our Lady's intercession. It's very easy for us to get discouraged and think things are so lousy, everything's going to hell in a basket, and there's no hope. The devil would like to have us think that. But in these times, God will glory, God will triumph through His weak instruments, which is all of us. And it's even though we're weak and we're unworthy, God's grace is the deciding factor and the powerful intercession of our Blessed Mother. It's a wonderful thing when we look at church history. When God chose His apostles, when Jesus chose His apostles, He didn't take the most learned. He didn't take the most qualified. He took these simple fishermen from Galilee. And these men spread the gospel throughout the whole world. God chooses the weak and the foolish of this world to confound the proud and to confound Satan. Do we want to be a success spiritually and temporally? Let us humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Let us give ourselves, consecrate ourselves entirely to the Blessed Virgin Mary and ask our Blessed Mother to watch over us and protect us from all spiritual and physical harm. You know, boys and girls, we've had school here at Mount St. Michael since 1977, 1978. I taught on the second floor here. If you go down the hallway, second floor, classroom on the right, taught 7th and 8th grade. Father Kasmer taught on the other side, 5th and 6th grade. Over the years, we've seen a lot of kids go through our schools, a lot of people graduate, and the sad thing is we've seen a lot of kids come and go. Some of the kids who went to school here are off the radar screen spiritually. Who knows what's happened to them? Let that not be said of any of you. What a great gift you have of the true Catholic faith. Treasure it and persevere in it. And if you're going to persevere, then you have to be like St. John, as we see depicted over the altar. You have to stay in union with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And these times in which the Church is going through a spiritual crucifixion, let us remember, if we're going to persevere in these times, then we have to be like St. John and stay next to Our Lady. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.